Today on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
Your kindness, while you've thought of kindness to this one person, has actually been massive unfairness to the whole. Nothing kills good employees faster than watching you tolerate bad ones.
On this episode, I'm going to talk about one of the most expensive personality traits in business, that being Mr. Nice Guy. Now, we've seen the same pattern over and over again. The owners who struggle with profit, cash flow, team performance, stress, and growth are often genuinely good people. They're generous, hardworking, loyal, and they care deeply about their team and their clients. But their desire to keep everyone happy ends up costing them hundreds of thousands of dollars and years of frustration. Now, we'll talk about how being Mr. Nice Guy shows up and quietly sabotages your business, and we will reveal five practical ways to become firmer and stronger while still being kind and respectful. Now, if you or someone you know is a pushover, this episode is a must listen. Well, one of the most expensive traits in business, and it's not what you think, but it's a big problem, and I reckon that's being Mr. Nice Guy.
Yeah, well, it can hold up a lot of things, and I think, you know, you end up with lack of money, you know, your team doesn't work out, you get difficult clients, ultimately, like, you burn out, and you know, you can hit bankruptcy even, basically, because you put everyone else's needs in front of your own, and I think it's a very tempting thing, right? We've got a client that comes to mind immediately. They really wanted to improve their profit. We taught them all the different mechanisms and everything they needed to put in place, and they got a really good handle of that and still struggled with it, basically because of this really expensive trait. They are the nicest person in the world, and it's not about being unkind, but it is about, you know, putting the needs of your business first, and that's something they just couldn't do.
Yeah, you've got to fix your own oxygen mask first, and in this case, this particular business, they had operations managers and project managers who consistently didn't perform, and the reason was the owner just struggled to hold these people accountable, and therefore the jobs were not as profitable as they should because the accountability didn't go out to the crew out in the field. It was as simple as that. They just found it so emotionally challenging. They just wanted to be nice. And it doesn't work in the long term.
So many people struggle with this. And like we said, it leads to so many problems. Weak profits, poor margins, you know, team members that are not able to actually live up to what you need them to do. But if you do it really well, you know, everything else is on the other side. You got the great profit, respect as a leader, great clients, and sustainable business growth. So let's get stuck into these points and how we can make sure that we don't fall into this trap.
Yeah, well, I think the first thing, fellas, it's really important to talk about what is actually going on here because it's not about being nice. People think it's that, but it's, you know, you think you're thinking of the other people when you're being nice, but actually you're not. You're actually thinking about yourself. It's actually, sounds harsh and not meant to be harsh, but it's, you're actually being quite selfish because you don't want to face that emotional discomfort of actually potential confrontation or calling people out, you know.
It's self-preservation.
It's kind of self-preservation. And the Mr. Nice Guy sort of thinks they're being kind to other people, but really they're just trying to avoid discomfort and confrontation. They don't want that awkward conversation. They don't want to sit down and see someone else be upset. They don't want conflict. And that's a real big problem. And often, honestly, the Mr. Nice Guy is the one not being honest.
It's not often, Tony. It's all the time. You know, whenever they're like adopting the Mr. Nice Guy stance, you're not being honest, because you're not standing up for what you need in a situation. And the really hard part with that is it will come to a head at some point. Like, there will come a time when you just cannot tolerate it anymore, whether it's, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, like you just can't tolerate it. And at some point you're going to have to be honest. But if you weren't honest from the start, you've trained this person or this client or this team member into a behavior that they think is okay and acceptable, you know, whether it's underpaying you for your work, paying you late, whether it's not doing a good job, it's like whatever it might be. But you train them into that and you make it okay, and eventually you're not going to be able to tolerate it anymore. You will have to start being honest.
Well, this is,
and it'll be too late.
Well, that's true, mate, but sometimes people do tolerate it to the end. Something else breaks.
But then the way that you have to be honest is saying, hey, honestly and respectfully, I've shut my business down and I can no longer service the work that I've done in the past. And, well, you know, I can't finish this project, whatever it might be.
This shows up in many ways. It shows up in relationship issues. It shows up in money issues, in stress issues, escape behavior issues show up as well, because everyone does have a breaking point. And so I guess the thing about that trait of being Mr. Nice Guy, as I call it, is they'll take the easier path, which ironically probably isn't being nice at all in the long run. It feels better today, but it creates bigger problems in the future. That's the key thing here. So I think it's important that we understand what is actually going on before we talk about how this actually shows up, and then how you can actually deal with it. And I can say for sure, the people in our coaching programs who make $1 million in net profit, they're not Mr. Nice Guy. They're not bad. They're not horrible. They're not evil. They're actually often kind and respectful, but they're firm and assertive. And this is actually very, very important to grow a successful business that makes money and gives you the lifestyle you want. It's one of the prerequisites to that success.
Well, they set clear boundaries. That's what it's really all about. It's clear boundaries, clear expectations. And after that, it's really easy to have nice interactions because everyone knows how to do that because you've set those boundaries clearly. So I think probably the first thing to talk about, you know, after that would actually be what this costs you. Because, you know, this does have so many impacts.
And how it shows up, I think, is the key thing. And the first one is you undercharge. This is a big part of it, probably the biggest one. And so that nice guy mentality is thinking, geez, that's a lot of money when I put a price together. Or what if they think it's too expensive? Or what if we lose the job if it's too expensive? And so often the nice guy or girl will price out of their own wallet. They'll discount before the client even asks. They don't charge for variations. You know, it's like, oh, that feels a bit awkward. I'll take it on the chin. Or maybe they assume price is the most important thing. And so the problem is that every time you're too nice, you're basically providing a discount straight out of your profit. You're taxing yourself. Like, there's a nice tax every time you do this. And that comes at a cost.
Yeah, it does. I mean, like, end of the day, the profit is what's going to pay for everything else in your business. Better wages, better equipment, better service, better systems, more family time, business growth. And so the thing is every time you're really nice to that customer by undercharging, you're actually really mean to the team that you need to pay better wages. You're really mean to the team that needs the better equipment. You're really mean to yourself and actually creating
and your family.
And your family. You know, again, if you could actually make a better situation here, you could spend more time with your family, you could provide for them better, but you've chosen to rob all of these people because of the one client.
Yeah.
And so it feels really nice to be nice at the time, but you've actually been mean on the whole.
Well, and here's the crazy thing here. Is ironically that undercharging leads to worse outcomes for everyone, including the clients, because if you don't have a good margin, then I can tell you for sure you'll struggle to provide a good service at some stage.
Absolutely.
Things will fall through the cracks. You won't have the right management infrastructure or right systems to manage the jobs. Things will fall over. You'll make mistakes.
Even just right down to the basics, which is that by the end of the job, you realize that you've actually paid them to do it and you start rushing and cutting corners to frantically try to make up the money. I mean, whatever it might be, the point is like nobody ends up with a good result here. You know, like, and at the very least, you are unhappy and begrudging about the work that you've done, which is not a nice way to hand over a finished project to your customer. So I think at the end of the day, like, you're not doing anyone any favors by undercharging your work.
So undercharging is a big one. And, you know, another really challenging area is your team. And so if you are too nice, you're Mr. Nice Guy, you're going to keep your poor performers too long.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's 100%.
This is a big one. And I mean, what happens is you kind of, the thought process is you see the potential, but you ignore
the facts,
yeah, the results, the behavior.
Yeah.
You remember when the employee was good and you feel guilty about confronting them. You don't want to hurt their feelings.
There was that one time they did that good thing. And so, dude, a broken clock is right twice a day.
I love that. Like, stop clock is right twice a day. Yeah, it's
it doesn't mean that they're good. Like, everyone has flashes of brilliance, but if that's, you know, prolonged by long periods of mediocrity, then they are mediocre.
This is what happens. You wait. What's that word? Prevaricate. I like that word. I saw it somewhere. I wanted to use it. Anyway.
Dude, I don't even know what that means. Wow, I feel a little bit overwhelmed right now.
There you go, man.
Maybe you should fire me even better.
That's how Mr. Nice Guy feels, you know? Like, he feels overwhelmed.
No, but look, actually, classic example, little segue, but classic example is Mr. Nice Guy would have pretended he knew what it meant, and then we wouldn't be clear. So, hey, look, I'm telling you right now, I don't know what the hell you just said.
Oh, that's sharp, brother. I like that.
redirect.
Yeah, well done, yeah. You made something out of a poo sandwich that you did well. The thing is, if you wait for too long, the rest of the team notices. They're like, well, I can get away with stuff. The culture doesn't matter. The standards don't matter. The A players are like, well, they can get away with it. Like, I'm just going to maybe just psychologically button off a little bit. And so every day that you tolerate poor performance just makes it worse. It tells other people what's acceptable. So you've actually got to front foot this stuff.
Well, once again, your kindness, well, your thought of kindness to this one person has actually been massive unfairness to the whole. And so it's always at the expense of everyone else because, I mean, we've said it once, we've said it a thousand times, but, you know, nothing kills good employees faster than watching you tolerate bad ones. And this is what you're doing when you're being Mr. Nice Guy to the bad employees.
Yeah, and again, there's another area that's emotionally challenging. That's money, right? Chasing money. So you do work, you send out your invoice, it's your money. So you wait 30 days and then you wait 60 and then you wait 90 and you kind of, once you summon up a bit of courage, you might send an email to say, oh, really nice. When could you possibly pay? That's a classic Mr. Nice Guy thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like the upward inflection.
Oh, they're good for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they might call if they're really, really stretched. Oh, when do you think you can pay?
Yeah. Hey, don't suppose you've seen that invoice. It's definitely come through to you. And you put on that telephone voice. Yeah, yeah. Man, when you put that telephone voice on, you know you're doing this, all right?
And then you think the thought process is, oh, I don't want to damage the relationship. Oh, you know, maybe they're having a tough time. Oh, they haven't been paid yet. That's a classic. So you kind of make excuses, or they've probably forgotten, or they're good clients, or whatever. Insert, you know, reason to not do what's needed here. But the trouble is, you're going to suffer, because the longer you wait, the less likely you are to get paid, and you know, things go to bad debts. And look, it's professional to chase up and get paid.
Yeah,
it's professional to be assertive and get what you need. And so don't wrap it up as being Mr. Nice Guy, because again, it's going to create the very issues that you're trying to avoid.
Well, there is absolutely nothing rude or unkind about this. It's your money. You already did the work. You already paid to do the work. You delivered the result. They owe you the money. It's yours. Like, it doesn't belong to them. You're not asking for their money. You're asking for your money. So there's nothing unkind or rude about asking for that.
When you think about the cost here, because I said, you know, this is an expensive personality trait. You can't pay your bills. Your credibility gets damaged. You've got to borrow money. You've got to pay interest. You know, there's all this cost that comes out of not actually dealing with the issue.
Yeah, and I think this leads to another one here, which is just this type of person says yes to everything.
This is massive. Everything. This is huge, right? This is a killer.
It's horrible. I mean, like, doesn't matter if it's a terrible client, horrible builder they're working for, tiny job that they shouldn't have taken, discount request they shouldn't have done, a favor from a mate, a weekend emergency you shouldn't have gone to. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, like, family and friend job where they come around and say, hey, I'll give you a box of beers if you renovate my entire kitchen, that kind of crap. Yeah, well, you know,
that's pretty extreme, but I mean, I'm sure it's happened.
And again, I joke, but like, not that much. Like, we've seen a lot of stuff be done on a favor basis. And at the end of the day, it's like you can't do that, man. Like, it's not a good thing to do.
So this is the thing. Mr. Nice Guy says yes because he wants to help. But actually what's going on, he finds it difficult to say no.
Well, the thing is that people can still pay you and pay you a good margin and be a good client and get your help. That's actually what they pay for, is your help. You are helping them.
That's called business.
You are helping them by professionally providing your services and your expertise at a cost. It is still help. Just because they paid for it doesn't stop it being help. And I think that that's really important. I mean, like, again, like, we get this. I got a lot of mates who are, you know, in trades and in business, and they'll ask questions. Hey, Phil, can you help me with this? And I say, absolutely. This is my hourly rate. And I don't say that to be mean, but it's like, this is what I do for a job and I'm very good at it. And I will help you at a cost.
Well, this is the thing. The personality trait of being too nice actually turns your business into a charity, which is a problem. Now, charity is great.
Absolutely.
For charity, do charity, but business is not charity.
That's right.
Out of the surplus or the results of the business, not even surplus sometimes, but it's a conscious decision, not a hidden leak dressed up as being nice.
And I think the hard part is that we often tell ourselves in this charity that it didn't cost us anything. You know, like, it's like, if I go around and just offer my time, then I'm like, it didn't cost me anything. I didn't have to buy anything for them, you know, and so it didn't cost me anything at all. But it did. It cost you time, energy, attention, opportunity, and that's time for myself, time that I could spend with my family, time that I could, like, recharge my own batteries so that I can actually go back to work on, you know, on Monday. It's time that I could have been doing another job that would have paid better. There is huge cost to this, and often we will tell ourselves this little story when we're being Mr. Nice Guy about how it didn't cost me anything to help and to say yes. But the reality is, there is always a cost.
Always opportunity cost, because you can spend that time on something else. And if you're saying something yes to an average, you're often saying no to something that could be exceptional, and that's important to understand.
Absolutely.
And similar to this is, you carry everyone else's problems. So, you know, this is a Mr. Nice Guy often gets burnt out because he carries everyone's burdens, you know. There's a book, I think it's Ken Blanchard, like the Not My Monkey.
Yeah.
I can't remember the
1 minute manager. The one minute monkey.
Yeah, the 1 minute manager. And everyone has a monkey and they try and give it to someone else. You know, they try and make things someone else's problem. So, you know, you might have an employee who asks you how to do something, and basically they're trying to give you the monkey, which is the responsibility for solving it.
Yeah.
Well, you want to get rid of monkeys in this case, and Mr. Nice Guy picks up everyone's monkeys. He's covered in monkeys. He's weighed down because he finds it difficult not to help, not to stop people pushing his boundaries, and so everyone stresses him out. And because you're a caring person, they take it on.
Yeah, and I think one of the hardest parts with this is that often we start to think, when we're taking on those monkeys, so to speak, we start to think, well, yeah, I'm carrying more monkeys, and so therefore I've got more stuff to do. But it's so much more than that. The weight of those monkeys is felt in exhaustion. The weight of those monkeys is felt in no mental clarity. It's felt in feeling like crap. It's felt in going home and being just so scatterbrained and exhausted and overwhelmed that you can't be present for the people that love you. It's felt in everything else, and it's not just stuff to do. And I think that that's really what hurts. And, you know, you don't do this because you're weak. You know, like, you don't feel this way because you're weak. It's because it's too much. Like, the mental load, the emotional load, it's too much. That's why everyone needs to hold their own monkeys.
That's exactly right. So you got to make sure the appropriate people carry the monkey, which is not you in most cases.
Yeah.
So the thing here is we kind of know the cost, and it's very expensive. Time, money, freedom, energy, all of that. There is a big mindset shift that needs to come here. And this is critical. And this is what we help our members understand, because a lot of people suffer from this issue. And the breakthrough comes when you realize that being nice and kind are not necessarily the same thing. You know, nice avoids discomfort. Kind tells the truth. Nice avoids accountability. Kind helps people grow. Nice discounts prices. Kind builds a profitable business that can look after the staff, the suppliers, the crew, and yourself for years.
And the customers.
The customers, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
If you go bust, you can't help any more customers either.
Kind, you know, nice avoids difficult conversations. Kind has difficult conversations because it's necessary. And the best business owners that we work with are actually very caring people.
Yeah, they're incredibly kind.
They are kind and they're respectful, but they're also firm, and they're willing to do uncomfortable things when necessary because that's what's required. And they understand that the short-term discomfort leads to the long-term success. That's absolutely critical here. So it's making that shift, and awareness is very important.
Yeah. So obviously we make the mindset shift, but I think, you know, part of this is if we look at how to stop being Mr. Nice Guy long term, I mean, you got to start thinking long term instead of short term. I mean, Mr. Nice Guy is focusing on avoiding the discomfort today. So making this one person in this one situation feel better. But a good leader will focus on creating better outcomes for tomorrow and for the whole. So rather than today for this one person, it's on the whole long term. It's a complete shift in the time frame of thinking. And when you avoid giving feedback to a team member, I mean, today's conversation will feel easier, but 6 months later, performance hasn't improved. Team's frustrated. You're frustrated. They're frustrated because nobody told them. And ultimately, you've now got to be unkind because you've still got to move them on. You know? But whereas it could have been an easy conversation there, like a difficult one, but a conversation, and you could have had a complete change. But you let it go for too long, you even have to have a worse conversation.
Well, this is the short-term thing is understanding that the pain will never be smaller than in the short term. The pain always gets bigger in the long term.
Well, when you ignore your problems, they go to the basement to lift weights.
That's exactly right.
It's like, you know, like, don't ignore them, man. Deal with it now. It's the best thing you can do.
Yeah. And so the second thing that I think really helps here is to understand the difference between guilt and responsibility, because there's a lot of guilt associated with, you know, being nice. You don't want to let people down or make them feel upset, and you kind of take on that responsibility. But guilty people, you know, they feel guilty about prices and letting someone go, all of that sort of stuff. But it's misplaced. Really, it's responsibility we want to talk about. Your responsibility is not to keep everyone happy. Your responsibility is to build the business that you're in charge of, that you're the leader of. That is your responsibility. That's your goal. That's what you need to do. And so that's about, you know, good jobs, paying wages, supporting families, serving customers, serving the community. That's your responsibility. So look at it through that lens, and then that helps you place the uncomfortable situations in the right box. You know, they're not the whole thing. They're just a small thing that you have to deal with to actually do your job or live out the responsibility that you have, which is running a successful business.
Yeah. And I think next one is using rules instead of emotions.
This is huge. This is really good.
It's so important. And I mean, we talked about boundaries and setting expectations earlier, but Mr. Nice Guy will make decisions emotionally. And a strong leader, on the other hand, is going to use principles. So, for example, instead of Mr. Nice Guy saying, I don't know if I should chase this overdue invoice, you know, the strong leader will say, our policy is that we call every overdue invoice at 7 days. So this is not an emotional thing. This is a standard that I will stick to because that's the rule. Mr. Nice Guy will say, I don't know if I should address this behavior, whereas the strong leader will say, our code of conduct requires me to address this behavior that falls below standard. Again, it's a standard. It's a rule. It's not me. This is not emotional. This is the rules. This is the standards. And so it actually makes everything really easy. And it also takes all of the emotion out of it, because it's not about being nice or mean or anything. It's like, we've got a rule and this is the rule. So that's what we're going to do. And it just, you know, rules are crucial. It reduces the emotional decision making. Decision's already been made. We're just sticking to it now. I'm just following the system.
You're kind of like the police person. You're just like enforcing the standards and the systems and the processes. And systems and processes are your friend if you are Mr. Nice Guy.
Yeah.
You roll them out. And even better, as you grow your business, you get other people to enforce them. So it takes some of the heavy lifting off you. That's very, very helpful.
And don't forget, people like rules. If you don't have any rules, then you don't know how to fit in. Like, we are societal animals, man. Like, that's what humans are. We need rules so that we know how to interact with each other properly and to belong. Without rules, you can't belong because you don't know if you belong because you don't know what belonging looks like. So I think the key is like, people actually like rules. And when you stick to them, it's actually very reassuring for people as well. So there's a lot of benefit to just using rules, not emotions, man. Yeah.
So something else, Phil, I reckon we should talk about is the importance of being comfortable with being disliked. Mm. And I know this is the nub of the issue because this is challenging. And it does hurt a little bit. But, you know, Mr. Nice Guy wants to be liked. But the problem with leadership is that leadership and popularity can be competing goals. And it's like raising children. You want your kids to dislike you sometimes and be angry and frustrated with you because that probably means you're doing a good job as a parent.
Well, I think the thing is, but that's the point where it gets emotional. You don't ever want them to dislike you. But practically, there are times when they have to.
You have to get used to that.
Yeah, and because if you're uncomfortable with it, if you can't do it, then the hard part is that you're going to raise children that are not going to fit into society well. And honestly, it'll damage your own relationship with them anyway because
they won't respect you.
No, and their resentment builds. They do stuff that you don't like, vice versa. I mean, and nobody's ever clear. You don't know how to be a team.
As a parent, I say this to Bronwyn, my wife sometimes, is I actually feel like I'm winning. If the kids are a little bit upset with me at least once a day, because it means I've put a line in the sand somewhere that is like, this is where things need to be. Now, I don't know if that makes me some kind of sick psycho, but I'm okay with that. And I think we need a similar approach to be like, okay.
If 4 o'clock comes around and you're like, you know what? I haven't pissed anyone off.
Oh, I've got to find a way to really hit these kids up. They're great kids, by the way. But anyway, it's almost like a scorecard. If you are a Mr. Nice Guy, I want you to celebrate if people are a little bit put out or maybe, you know, they show a little bit of frustration with you, that's actually winning. That means you're doing what you need to do.
As long as it's because you are holding a standard.
That's right. Obviously, you don't want to be silly and you're not just going around to annoy people, but it's like if you hold people to something and maybe there's a bit of pushback, that means you're winning. You're doing what you need to and you're creating respect in your business rather than coming across as a pushover, which will not lead to respect. And you know, the strongest leaders are often seen as quite not rude or unkind, but they're firm. And sometimes there's a little bit of like, oh, nervousness.
They're just firm, direct, and confident. And I think that the big thing that shows through when you hold standards is integrity. And I think if you actually look at one of the most valued things that humans look for in other humans is integrity. You do what you say you're going to do. And so if you set a standard, you set an expectation, you must enforce it, or otherwise you are demonstrating the opposite of integrity. And you actually lose all respect. And people don't like you anyway because you're untrustworthy. And so you've got to hold boundaries, man. And it's crucial.
This is the crazy thing. And that's why with this episode, you know, it's an expensive trait. By being too nice, you actually create the opposite effect.
Yeah.
People will not like you because they can't respect you and they can't trust you to do the job that you're actually there to do.
Yeah,
100%. That's a big problem. So this one is important. It's like a muscle, right? Every time you don't do this, it gets worse. Like if you cave in, you're kind of building the muscle of not doing what you need to. And courage works the same way. If you do those little things that are a little bit tough, if you keep doing that, you're going to build your confidence up. This is very important.
Mm.
So it's those little courageous micro steps that you take each day. And we all know what these things are.
Yeah,
we all know today, what is the little difficult conversation I need to do? What's the apology I need to make? What's the call out I need to do?
What's the standard I've been tolerating having?
Yeah, what standard haven't I set? We all know what these are. And you will know in your own mind, in your business and in your life what these are. So start with those. And just those little micro steps will make a big difference.
Yeah.
The first is hard. The second is hard. The fifth is a bit easier. The tenth is even better because you're building up your confidence. You're building up your capacity and your belief in yourself.
By the hundredth, you don't even think about it. This is an automatic thing. And so I think you've just really got to stick with it. You've got to reinforce this to yourself. Otherwise, you're reinforcing the opposite to everybody else. And I think, you know, the goal, I think you mentioned this, is it hard at the start, but you know, you might be worried about things, but the goal isn't actually to eliminate fear, it's to act despite it. And I think that's absolutely crucial.
That's the key, and that's what real winners do. You know, they understand that they're not perfect and they've got issues and challenges, but they do what needs to be done in spite of the fact that it's difficult.
Oh, yeah. Let's land this plane.
If there's one thing that you take away from this episode, it's this. Being a good person doesn't require you to avoid difficult conversations or difficult decisions. In fact, some of the kindest things you'll ever do will be to call out your team, your clients, your family, and yourself, and they'll feel uncomfortable in the moment. So stop trying to be Mr. Nice Guy. Start being the leader your company needs, because the cost of avoiding discomfort is almost always greater than the cost of the discomfort itself. Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Profitable Tradie podcast.